Good afternoon, everyone. My talk this afternoon would be about an indigenous concept in healthcare being practiced in an ethnolinguistic groups, one of the ethnolinguistic groups in the Philippines. So let me introduce to you first the Cuyunan people and their language. The Cuyunan language is Bisayan West Cuyan language, belongs to the West Cuyan subgroup of languages, the Greater Central Philippine family. And there are around 170,000 native speakers as of the year 2000, according to the National Commission for Indigenous People. And it's primarily spoken in the province of Palawan. If you are familiar with the Philippine geography, Palawan is located in the southwest portion of the Philippines. But the homeland of Cuyunan is a smaller island. It's called Cuyo. In fact, it's a group of islands, with Cuyo being the main island, and more than 20 smaller islands or islets surrounding it. You might already know, but Palawan is being inhabited by many other ethnolinguistic groups, including the highly endangered Batak, Tagbanua, and Palawan groups that are now that have diverged into different languages already. Mulbog in the southern portion of Palawan near Borneo, the Cagayanan people living in Cagayan Silio Island, and Agutainin, which is actually part of the Cuyo group of islands. So the town of Cuyo was probably one of the earliest Palawan towns to be proselytized by the Spaniards as early as 1640. You see, there's a church there that was built by the Spaniards, and it was a strategic fort built in the island, and Cuyo eventually became the capital town of the province in 1873. You see canyons in front of the church. And the Cuyunan language rose to dominance and became the lingua franca of Palawan until the 1980s, when around 43% of the province population actually used Cuyunan. So if you look at the layer of prestige of languages in Palawan, you would find Cuyunan on top, dominating over the other languages spoken in the province. But starting early 1990s, when Palawan became started to attract tourists and migrants, Tagalog started to gain ground, and now Tagalog is the lingua franca of the province, putting pressure even among Cuyunan speakers to shift to Tagalog. So I think it endangers well-developed knowledge systems. And one of those knowledge systems I'm going to talk about this afternoon is an indigenous knowledge system in healthcare we call PASMA in Cuyunan. I'm, by the way, a native speaker of Cuyunan. So I'm going to view PASMA as both a local knowledge that is facilitated by a conceptual system. And when I say local knowledge, I'm borrowing the term of the American anthropologist Clifford Geertz. He said that the beliefs, local knowledge is constituted by the beliefs and orientations emerging from the social practices of a community through its history. And when I say conceptual system, it's an interconnection of semantically related terms and expressions that is built over time and which embodies a particular culture's understanding of an interrelated phenomena. So PASMA in the Philippines supposedly recorded for all Christian groups, as well as acculturated Muslim and tribal groups, according to Tan in 1987, but the meaning of PASMA in other Philippine languages is somehow limited. In Tagalog, for example, PASMA only refers to a sort of spasmodic condition of a particular part of the body, usually the hands, because of a perceived bad habit of washing it after a strenuous activity. So if you like playing basketball, for example, a sport, and then you would have that habit of washing your hands after playing, you can develop PASMA in the context of Tagalog language. But in Cuyunan, the philosophy of PASMA covers a broader term. In Cuyunan, PASMA is any, there's a belief in Cuyunan that any imbalance between hot and cold may cause maladies, and that balance between these two is generally essential to the well-being of the Cuyunan people. And we all know that the importance of balance and harmony in health and well-being has been well recorded in ancient medical practices, including the ancient Chinese medical philosophy, if you're familiar with yin and yang, the Greek humoral pathology, and even in Ayurvedic medicine. So PASMA in Cuyunan is really all about hot and cold syndrome, which, according to Currier in 1966 and Mark Kahlo in 1973 was also recorded in other parts of the world, particularly in Latin America. I think there's another presentation about imbalance this afternoon at 4 p.m. So it might be somehow related to what I'm talking about today, right now. And pasma, there's no established origin of the term, but it's thought to be derived from the Spanish espasmo, which literally means spasm. But in Cuyon, again, pasma encompasses all conditions caused by hot and cold tension for living beings, because we have another term that actually relates to the tension between hot and cold in non-living things. So we have, for each type of pasma, the potential causes, the specific symptoms, and corresponding ways of curing are identifiable, at least in Cuyon language. And such complex yet systematically organized conceptual system has not been attested in other Philippine languages. So my methodology, I basically conducted interviews, the first one in 2009, the last one late last year before this conference. And I basically interviewed mothers because they're the ones that plays the biggest role in this particular healthcare system. And I also employed a rough version of semantic decomposition to be able to identify the different types of pasma. So before going into the different types of pasma, I'd like to discuss to you some related concepts. The first one, the concept of disease and illness in Cuyunan. We differentiate disease and illness in the way that when we say disease, it's very specific. We say may masakit. Masakit is our term for disease. But when we're talking about state of well-being in general, like what I'm feeling right now, and I would say that I feel bad or feel sick, then I would say makuri ang pamati. Pamati is our term for hearing. So it actually means I'm having some difficulty in hearing. And that's our expression. We would like to say that I'm feeling ill. So usually when you say makuri ang pamati, or I'm having some difficulty in hearing, it's a kind of it's like you introspecting and having that subjective response towards certain condition you're feeling. So it's patient perspective too. And so the healthy state in Cuyunan is when you have mayad ang pamati, your hearing is good, over ara masakit, or the disease does not exist. So it means that even when you have like a terminal disease or a hereditary disease, you could still say, my hearing is good, I'm fine. My state of well-being is good. So in visiting someone who is sick, we usually would say, kumusta imong pamati? How's your hearing, literally? That's how we ask. And the answer might vary because, as I said earlier, pamati, because of its subjectivity somehow has its gradient in terms of the response. So you can start with the best condition, which is mayad ang pamati, your hearing is good. When you say your hearing is somehow strange, may barang pamati, that means your condition is tolerable. The cause may not be illness. So like now, because I'm feeling so nervous, may bara akong pamati, right? Marimo ang pamati, your hearing is bad. It's still tolerable, but it's somehow transient, so it would stop at some point, and you're still functional, you could still do things. But if you say mahuri ang pamati, then it's intolerable and probably you'll not be able to do the things you normally do every day. Now let me go to the different types of pasma. I classified these different types of pasma based on whether they require the process of curing pasma, we call it pamasma, or not. So the primary types are the one requiring pamasma. And pamasma is normally done when there's presence of fever. It's non-recurrent, and the cause is basically external heat. And the secondary ones, no pamasma is needed. It's usually recurrent, and the cause is internal heat. So let's go to the primary types of pasma. The first one is pasma sa prutas. You know, I think you would be able to guess what prutas mean. Whenever you eat pasma causing fruits, you can actually develop, or you can be sick. And we call it pasma sa prutas. So this facilitated the categorization of Cuyunan of what we would consider as cold fruits. So among the cold fruits, we have those fruits that are pretty strong in terms of causing pasma. Though there are those that are moderate, and there are those that are weak. I'll give you some examples. Some of the strong fruits are the young coconut, jackfruit, bicolangka, and a special type of banana, a red banana, we call karao. And for the moderate ones, we have like a type of banana similar to Cavendish, we call arikundal. The fruit of cashew, we call kasui, and also kapayas, papaya. And some of the weak fruits are the mangoes, guayabano, and a kind of black plum we call lumboy. So the symptoms for pasmas of frutas are the following. We have fever, we develop bitter taste, and we vomit, and this will extend for several days. So the treatment, as I said earlier, is pamasma. It should be carried out. And pamasma is for fruit. For pasmas of frutas, this is done by broiling the fruit, and then small amount of juice is taken from the fruit and applied to the temples and the navel. And the rest of the boiled fruit should be eaten, and the body should be kept warm to sweat out the heat. So it's not life-threatening, but relapse is possible. We call it bagat. And what's unique about pasmas of frutas is that it's possible to prevent it. This is a kind of a process of negotiation, because you have to ask your mother whether it's under that particular circumstance you could still eat that fruit because you really would like to eat it. So we call it panguntra. Kontra is countering, right? And you do it by rubbing the juice, the fresh juice of the fruit, on two body parts that I mentioned earlier. The second type of second primary type of pasma is pasma sa init, and this is somehow related to the third one, which is pasma sa tubig. They're somehow reverse types. Pasma sa init, init means heat, happens when you take a bath and then you expose yourself to heat in a prolonged period of time. On the other hand, when it's pasma sa tubig, you expose yourself in a prolonged period of time to heat, and then you take a bath. And the deadly type of pasma is a subtype of pasma sa tubig. We call it pasma tabardilio. Let me go one by one. So pasma sa init, again, is when you take a bath and then you expose yourself to heat in a prolonged period of time. So after we feel that after taking a bath, you're not supposed to expose yourself to heat. You have to cover yourself. On the other hand, pasma sa tubig, after exposing yourself to prolonged heat, you take a bath. That's not supposed to be done if you're a Kuyunan and if you are in the context of our language. And also, we feel that pasma sa tubig is more dangerous because heat is trapped in the body. We call it saraduang init sa lawas. So the heat will not be able to come out if you take a bath after exposing yourself to heat in a prolonged period of time. And this exactly what happens in that subtype of pasma sa tubig we call pasma tabardilio. It is the most severe type of pasma, and it may be fatal. Some of you who speak Spanish may know that tabardilio is the Spanish term for sunstroke or typhoid. But for Kuyunon, particular type of pasma, this happens when you take a bath after doing a strenuous activity while being exposed to heat in a prolonged period of time. So you're not only exposed to heat, but you're also doing a strenuous activity. And this happens, for example, in Cuyo. Usually we do a lot of fishing, and we have terms for high tide fishing, pangisda, and low tide fishing. And especially when you do low tide fishing, you walk in that vast area for a prolonged period of time. And after coming from Pakinas, when you take a bath, you could potentially get pasma tabardilio. And the symptoms for all three are the same. So you would have that sudden change in your pamati. You would start feeling strange, and you would have high fever. You would develop also bitter taste, your body pain, and headache. And for pasma tabardilio, the deadly pasma, your internal organs and nerves are thought to be swelling because of too much heat that can't come out of your body. So the treatment is also pamasma, but we are using a rock. We call it bantigi. Per my research, it's kind of sedimentary rock, actually somehow like a phosphate rock. It is broiled and then soaked in a bowl of tap water. Pamasma using this rock is also the default pamasma. So the treatment would have, of course, similar to pasma sa prutas, your temples and navel are to be rubbed with a liquid, but the remaining liquid should be drunk. I've experienced this so many times, and I tell you, this is one of the worst tasting liquid I've ever tasted. So the mother in Kuyunan worldview serves as the household doctor. She investigates the cause of pasma and also carries out pamasma when necessary. So there's the mother, the grandmother in the photo, carrying out the pamasma. And also the mother is a source of information of children as to what fruits can be eaten and whether it is okay or not to take a bath. It's pretty normal for us to ask our mother if whenever we see a fruit on top of the table, whether it's okay to actually eat it or not. And it's the mother's decision that we should obey. Or if not, we have to endure pamasma because we disobey the warnings from our parents or grandparents. Now let's go secondary types of pasma. I see these types as somehow extension of the primary type. The first one is pasma sa gutom, or caused by, gutom is hunger. So when you skip or not eat meals on time, you can develop pasma sa gutom. Symptoms include loss of appetite, recurring loose bowel movement, and recurring stomachache, accompanied by headache. So the treatment is quite difficult to make, rice coffee. You have to make rice coffee because we believe that rice coffee could heal wounds in the stomach. And it is not life-threatening, but it has the tendency to recur and may incapacitate you if it becomes severe. The second one is pasma sa rigla, or rigla is our term for menstrual period. If you take a bath during your menstrual period for females, then you can develop pasma sa rigla. So the symptoms include sakit sa puson, lower abdominal pain, and irregular menstrual period. So there's no established cure for pasma sa rigla, but in my interview, they said you can actually boil certain types of leaves, among them is lemongrass, just to relieve your body of that trapped heat. It's not life-threatening, but we believe that when it recurs and eventually gets worsened, then a female Kuyunan might be, that might lead to mental disorder. We call bariada. That's our term for crazy woman. And then finally, pasma sa kaugatan is on the nerves. So this is similar to Tagalog conception of pasma. A frequent washing of a particular part of the body, which have been tired. And the symptoms would be frequent spasm and pain in the affected body part. And also the treatment would be somehow external. We call it pamanyos. And like various types of oil, we call lana. And a therapeutic massage, we call ilot. It's not life-threatening, but is recurring and may lead to paralysis as well if it gets worsened. So I'd like to talk briefly about pasma in the human body. In my observation, my analysis of how the narratives actually came out in my interviews, in Kuyunan, the human body is somehow viewed as a container that facilitates the natural flow of heat in and out. And there, in fact, there are certain parts of the body that are believed to be the entry or exit point of the heat, and that includes the crown of the head, the palms, and the soles. So we're also not allowed to wear shoes whenever we go to school after taking a bath because it is believed that the heat will not be able to come out. And also there's somehow a relationship between pasma and the environment. Kuyunan generally believes that while pasma exists in Cuyo Islands, it may not exist in places where environment largely differs from Cuyo, especially in urban areas. So when I'm in Metro Manila and I would be confused, I would call my mom, Mom, I'm supposed to take a bath. I've been out the whole day. And she would say, maybe you will not get pasma because you're in Metro Manila anyway. And also non-endemic fruits like apples and grapes may not necessarily cause pasma. Now, younger generation of Kuyunans are not interested about traditional way of life, livelihood anymore. So I'm pretty worried that many of them will be starting to forget about this whole complex indigenous healthcare system. Also, the environmental landscape in Cuyo is starting to change. Before, we used to have sea fortresses. They are like walls that divide the deep sea and the shallow area of the sea. Those walls serve two purposes, apart from telling us when the tide is starting to get lower. It also is like a trap for the fish. So the fish would be attracted and they would play inside the fortresses, and then they would forget that the tide is getting lower, and it would be able to catch them inside there. Now, to be able to build those fortresses, you have to stay under the heat of the sun for a long period of time, and you have to maintain it every day. And right now, no one is interested to maintain it anymore. The last time I went to Cuyo Islands, there's just only one atol, we call it atol. There's only one atol that's surviving. Also, rice farms, because we do dry land planting, so it's more tedious. Also, we have to burn the soil. We have to push the fire make the soil like fertilized. But nowadays, many people would rather prefer planting cashew trees because it's easier to earn money with cashew nuts, and it requires less work. You just have to, you know, wait until the cashew is big enough to actually bear fruits. And finally, there's changing. Different modes of transportation have been introduced. So before, we had to walk for a long time. I had to walk like 3-5 kilometers to school back and forth in a day just to get to my school. But now students could either ride a motorcycle or a tricycle conveniently to go to their destination within the island. And finally, of course, the rise of hospitals and health clinics. The Kuya District Hospital has been built. The last time I went there, during my last set of interview, people are still saying that when you get pasma, you don't need to go to the hospital. But there are certain cases when conflict would arise. For example, there was one young female who was brought to the hospital because she has really high fever that cannot be lowered anymore by pamasma. And what the hospital did was to bath her with ice water. And she died. And so the people thought that the reason why she died is instantly she got pasma tabardillo because of, you know, she was having high fever and you put it in ice. That's a huge tension between hot and cold. So I think that's all that I'd like to share to you today. Thank you.
We have about 9 minutes for questions.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, do Kuyunon people have the concept of hot rain? That is rain when the sun is shining. You tell children not to go out because if the rain touches their skin, this is true in Indonesia and it's found in several other parts of the world, I know. I just wonder if you've got that concept, because it has to do with hot.
No, we don't have that concept. But we have what is not allowed, what is bad is when it rained and then suddenly the sun shines. We call the evaporation of rainwater is really bad. So we call it sungaw. So when you, the sungaw is bad for our health. So we are normally not allowed to go out when after raining, the sun suddenly comes out. Or sometimes when it was really hot and then suddenly the rain pours, we're also not allowed to go out right away because of sungaw.
Does sungaw have any other meaning besides that?
Sungaw, yes. Sungaw means to, it's really severe. So the wheel, when the air gets released, we call it sungaw. Also boils. So we develop boils, actually. When we develop boils in our body, we think that it's because it's sungaw. The heat cannot come out of the regular entry and exit points, and therefore boils would be developed. And we call boils sungaw.
Okay, thank you.
Yes. Apasma.
Another question is, what is your perception of the percentage of the new generation, Kuyunon generation, do they believe in pasma?
I think generally they still believe. I cannot back it because I've never conducted a survey. But because I have nephews and nieces as well, and many of them still believe in pasma. However, it's not as, they're somehow confused with the types. They would not be able to tell you the different types of pasma anymore. It's starting to level off to just one type. And right now, the term pasma is getting extended even to like plants, you know. So that's why in Kuyo Islands, when you are planting or when you are raised growing plants, you're supposed to water them early in the morning. You're not supposed to water them in the afternoon or late in the afternoon because we think they will get pasma. Yes.
Yes, yeah. Thank you. You mentioned that all mothers seem to know this pasma. And are there other forms of healing that are not so widely known, that are maybe more specialized domains? This domain is widespread and known by everyone.
Yes. Well, the Western science might probably be calling it folk healing. Anyway, the Philippines, everything that's not Western is being labeled folk. So we do a lot of folk healing. So the mothers, some mothers could in fact do paras. Paras is just you know, beating the back, your back whenever you get rashes because we feel like we actually disturb a spirit. I have another study that's actually about how we communicate with nature. And we also believe not only in the harmony within our body, we believe in the harmony in the environment. And that harmony entails us maintaining a good relationship with all those elements that we perceive to be coexisting harmoniously with us. So respect is very important in that particular relationship. So when we pass through big trees and big rocks, usually we have to ask permission that we are passing through them. Because if we don't, then we will probably develop some sort of rashes, or we have different terms on different manifestations. But yes, mothers could do the initial paras, but otherwise, if the mother could not do it anymore, then we have manibulong. Bulong is to cure, so manibulong is the one, a person in the community who does the healing.
So kind of like first aid and then the more?
Yes, mothers can do first aid, yes. Yes?
It's a very interesting talk, thank you. I'm curious if there is a particular process how the knowledge or practices are passed on from mothers to daughters, or and how you came to know mother? Was it weird for you to interview the mothers?
Yes, basically, we live in extended families. So I think it's basically the daughter. When the daughter becomes a mother, the daughter should be getting a lot of guidance from the mother. So in the picture I've shown you earlier, the grandmother is in fact already a great-grandmother. Because if an older female is still in the house, that's the eldest one that actually knows the most. So even if the mother is present, when there's grandmother or great-grandmother in the house, then that person is the most authoritative in terms of treating pasma. So when you ask your father, "Father, can I eat this fruit?" Ask your mom.
I think the mom is
not. Yeah, so that probably is kind of situation that's pretty much like an exemption. But usually in Kuyo, you would really find a child that is not living with an adult, probably with an aunt or a grandmother. So if the mother dies among Kuyunas, usually there's someone who should take over the role of being a mother. The community would despise you if the whole family, if they allow a child to grow without parents, especially without a female parent as well. Yes, I think at least in this particular presentation, it's really more physical. There's one thing I pointed out earlier which could somehow lead to the spiritual thing, and that's pangontra. The pangontra, the one, the countering, trying to prevent it. It's a sort of negotiation. And when you do pangontra, when you rub initially, for example, the juice of the fruit in your temple and in your navel, you have to utter some words. So we utter pura pasma. Puera is also from Spanish, puera pasma. So except, it means except pasma. So you have to utter some words. So I think that's very spiritual.
Thank you
for listening.